Good morning.
Good morning.
It's July 16th, 2019, and I'm hereby calling the meeting of the Story County Board of Supervisors to order. And if you would care to, please join us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Now, I would entertain a motion to adopt the agenda for today.
I'll make the motion to adopt the agenda for July 16th, 2019.
Second.
Okay. Moved and second. Hedden?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Merkin? Aye. We've adopted the agenda. Next is public comment number one for the public to address topics that are on today's agenda. And this one isn't on today's agenda, but I do have Dustin Ingram wants to talk briefly, and I'd be willing to let you talk now, if you'd like to.
Morning.
Good morning.
So just very briefly here, Dustin Ingram with the Ames Chamber of Commerce at 304 Main Street. I wanted to update you on the Economic Development Leader Summit. We've worked with Leanne Harder on this for several months now, but we have a save the date that's coming out today or tomorrow for September 20th. And that event, the idea behind it is to connect our local leaders, but also the economic development stakeholders throughout our rural communities and throughout Story County. So we'll be talking a lot about housing, entrepreneurship, and the tools and resources that our office provides so that those communities can be best equipped to meet their economic development challenges.
So to clarify here as this goes forward, though, I mean, when you're saying what your office provides will be one section of it, and talking about housing is a different section of it, correct? I mean, it won't be that like Story County, Ames Economic Development is coming in to do everything, correct?
Exactly.
Okay, great.
Exactly.
Okay,
so there'll be different components of the day. It'll be from the morning to early afternoon, and we have it slated out for separate types of discussions with different speakers from different organizations.
Great.
And you'll be providing more information as the date gets closer?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Sure.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Okay. Are there any other members of the public who'd like to comment at this time? Okay. And if not, we'll go on to agency reports, and we have Tricia Keene from Friendship Art Homes.
Jennifer, I'm sorry.
Okay. Friendship Art, Jennifer, pardon me.
Good morning. Thank you for having me. You've already been provided our report, but I included some pictures because I thought it might be more interesting for you to look at pictures rather than just the text as I go through the report. The mission of Friendship Arc is to celebrate the uniqueness of adults with intellectual disabilities by providing homes and community services. We also help them reach their fullest potential through faith, family, and friendship. Some of the highlights over the past year, we have been donated enough funds to purchase a lot, so we'll be able to build a sixth home. We're hoping to do that in the spring of 2020. This is actually our 20th anniversary. We were incorporated in 1999. So we're celebrating that throughout our 5K and our fall benefit and some of the other events that we put on. We believe it's important to give back to the community, and so we do an advocacy project each year. The one that we're working on for this year is putting an adult changing table in a location in Ames. It's very difficult for folks who need that type of support, and there's nowhere in Ames right now where you can do that in the community. And so we got a grant from Altrusa to purchase the changing table, and right now we're working with Ames Public Library because that's a place where lots of people can go, and so we thought that would be an ideal location. There's a picture of last year's advocacy project, which was to donate an aquatics wheelchair to the Furman Center, so anyone who's needing that level of support can still access all of the functions of the aquatic center.
I have seen that in use.
Oh, good.
So it's wonderful.
Great. Mm-hmm. Great. We also hosted our 15th annual 5K. Just finished that on the 4th of July. We had one of the best turnouts we've had in the last few years, which was nice to see. We always enjoy that. It's a great opportunity for the community to come out and be a part of Friendship Arc and visit with our core members. We had three individuals who received Arc of Story County Awards, and their picture is the third one in the first row there. Our board president received a Volunteer of the Year Award. Our office manager received Professional of the Year Award, and one of our core members received the Self-Advocate of the Year Award. So it was wonderful that we had so many that were represented at that. Some of the challenges, any organization that receives Medicaid funds is going to tell you that managed care is a challenge. Certainly this year hasn't been any different. United left the state, and Iowa Total Care just came in. Because we haven't tried to bill with Iowa Total Care yet and won't until August, we're not sure how that's going to work. But we're trying to get set up and have been through this before. So we know there'll be challenges and we'll work through those. Also, because of the growth that we've seen the last few years, we're out of space in our office. And so we're kind of looking for different alternatives to try to meet those needs, especially if we continue to grow the way we have the last few years. So those are really the big challenges that we faced over this year.
What percentage of your clientele have had a change in provider for Medicare? Do you have any idea?
Oh, in provider?
Or no, in their coverage.
Had to switch insurance companies.
Insurance companies.
Oh, I would say 75%.
That many?
Yeah, because AmeriHealth left the system, and now United's left the system. And they had a bulk of our members, so at least 75%.
So that's a big change.
Mm-hmm. And that's change in their MCO, but there have been lots of changes with who their case managers are. We have seen some reduction in services. If they are not utilizing all of the funding, it gets cut. It used to be that they would look at that annually. They're looking at it, if we're lucky, every 3 months. And there's a lot of reasons why that can change. Someone goes on vacation, they may not use all of their funding. You know, so looking at it in that short of a window is really challenging for us.
Is there then an appeal process?
There is, but basically what we've seen is that we have to prove by overutilizing more than what they need, which means we're eating that until we can show that they need that. So it's really challenging.
Okay, thank you, and pardon the interruption.
No, absolutely, I'm glad you asked. We are supporting 24 right now in our homes. We have one opening. We've got a waiting list, and so we're working with an individual on our waiting list to move into that opening. That's been delayed because of the MCO. He had United, and with United leaving, we couldn't get the funding in place. So we're hoping he'll be able to move in July. That's our plan at the moment. In Dayham, we serve approximately 40. About two-thirds of those are members that live in our homes or receive our residential services, and the rest actually receive services from someone else or live at home with family. So we're able to meet some extra need on getting people out in the community through that program. And then we serve 15 in our individualized SCL program, so they either live at home with family or they live in their own apartments. They don't need 24-hour support. One thing I forgot to put in my report, we did in February have our second CARF survey, and we were awarded the highest 3-year certification. Thank you.
Okay. Any questions?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. I have one.
Sure.
So starting on your sixth house, and they're all in Ames right now, correct?
They are.
Are there any plans or to look toward the future about maybe having a house in a different Story County community?
Yes. We've had some discussion about that, and it's definitely kind of in our long-range plan to look at that. If we had enough need to fill that home in one of the other Story County communities, we would look at that for sure.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure.
Okay. Next, we have Veterans Affairs. Oh, I'm sorry.
Poor Trisha. I'm sorry.
You'll be next, Trisha. Okay. Pat Peterson is here.
Good morning. I'm taking Brett's place today because his mother's in the hospital and he has to attend to her. I'll give you a quick review of our quarterly report. This runs from April 1st through June 30th, and this is our fourth quarter report. We turned around and set out total assistance in the Story County of 200, $2,327.57. During the fourth quarter, 232 veterans were interviewed, including surviving spouses and also in nursing homes. He had hometown outreach in seven communities and got to see quite a few veterans. Aaron and Brett attended the spring VA school in April, and Aaron got recertified as a County Veterans Affairs Service Officer. They had a military symposium at ISU on May 8th, and around 65 were in attendance. Our spring newsletter was sent out before Memorial Day, and we sent out 2,767 and emailing out over 700 newsletters, so that's well received. Brett went to our NACVSO training June 1st through 7th and recertified his training. Story County had an appreciation event on June 14th at Inez Grove Park, and it was for families, and we had 70 veterans and families there, and the little kids got face paintings. The big thing is that the geographic distribution of VA expenditures in fiscal year 18 is $24,945,000 that comes into Story County because of this Veterans Administration. So this helps us a bunch. That's about $3 million more than we had 2 years ago. The second thing I want to do is I want to thank you ladies for helping do all the interviews of all the candidates. We had some very time-consuming time, and we have Allie came on board June 1st, and then Nick and Luke came on board July 1st, and so we're up and running again.
That is super. It's nice to see some younger people joining.
Yes, yes, and I'm the old guy. Everybody else is under 35.
We appreciate your leadership, and they're going to appreciate your leadership with veterans.
Thank you. Any questions?
I don't have a question, just a comment. Is I know that Brett's been going out to the different communities and setting up kind of resource time for people to come in, and I think that's been really good for him and for veterans, just some additional outreach that he's been doing.
Not everybody likes to come over to Ames and Park and
right.
do that, and especially the age of the veterans. Like in Cole, we have two World War II veterans that turn 100 this week, and so that's kind of surprising. And
sure.
They just aren't able to get there, but yet Brett can get to them.
Yeah,
so
no, I think that's a great, great thing that he's been doing.
Okay. Thank you.
Just a comment, quarterly newsletter, when is it next scheduled to publish?
The next one will be the beginning of November,
okay.
or the end of October, somewhere in that time frame, because we have a fall Veterans event, usually the first weekend after Veterans Day,
right.
November 11th.
Right.
And so that will be out before that, so everybody's aware of it.
I'd just like to make a comment. I've made it other times, too, in various forms here, but a request that if the commission is deciding to publish for-profit events, and please make certain that the times and dates are correct, whether it be on the website or on the in the newsletter. And I think because you and I heard that during the veterans when we were interviewing candidates
mm-hmm.
for the veterans vacancy, it does vary a little bit from what we do as the county policy. But at least as we heard that some of them weren't right before, and so that was a profession level. So
you learn things as you're interviewing.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, I love my time spent with you, Pat. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Pat. And now, Tricia Kane, and I apologize, for getting my arts.
No, you're good.
Okay.
Okay, just to review my report briefly, the ARC of Story County receives funding from four programs through the asset process. Three of these services are supported strictly through the CICS funding. Our special recreation program, Active Lifestyles, continues to thrive in large part from the funding we receive from CICS, the city, and United Way. We are serving almost 200 athletes this year. We have unified softball along with our regular softball teams this summer. The unified softball program joins golf and cheerleading as unified sports. For fiscal year 2019, we received an increase in funding through CICS to see us through the last 3 months of programming for each fiscal year. This has assisted us tremendously in meeting the social and recreational needs of the individuals who participate in our program. People with disabilities in Story County have grown to know Active Lifestyles as a safe, social, and healthy activity for which they can participate, grow, and be contributing members in our community. Care coordination is an important aspect of the day-to-day services of the ARC. families new to the community or in search of services are suitable for their child, see the ARC as a place to receive answers and learn what is available in the community. Project Search is beginning its fourth year at Iowa State on August 14th. Through this program, though this program is not funded through the ESSET process, it has become a valuable service to the disability community. This year, we have 9 students or interns graduate from the program, with 3 of the interns getting hired by Iowa State for competitive employment, which historically, when we started the program 4 years ago, Iowa State said they would never, ever, ever hire one of the interns. And so we were very happy that this year they stuck with the Project Search national statistic and hired 1/3 of the graduating class. We have internship sites across campus, including School of Education, Recreational Services, Iowa State Daily, Transportation, Parks Library, Dining, Ivy College of Business, and Athletics, to name a few. Project Search is a 9-month-long employment training program for individuals with intellectual and developmental disabilities. The participants receive classroom instruction coupled with 3 different internship rotations. The Project Search is a national program with an employment success rate of 93%. The ARC is not a typical employment provider. We saw a need in the community and researched the best program. IVRS will continue to provide funding for the internship portion of the 9-month-long program. This program has allowed us to meet the emerging needs of our participants and meet a growing need in our county for quality employment services for people with intellectual and developmental disabilities. And so to go along with that, I just want to say that the ARC provides this program. However, we do not specifically provide the supported employment services that go along with the graduates to help them seek that community employment. And so that has been a huge struggle because we don't have necessarily quality supported employment services here in Story County, or there's huge waiting lists for the programs that are available. So that would be a huge barrier to that program. The ARC has also been an integral member of getting the Inclusive Playground and Miracle Field to fruition in Story County, and so thank you for your recent $25,000 allocation to that project. Regardless of whether one is in the wheelchair or has an intellectual disability, all people want and deserve the right to play, which is a vital part of development and inclusion. As always, it is a privilege for the ARC to provide services in Story County and use those services to assist others in living a life that the rest of us may take for granted.
Okay. Any questions?
Tricia, I have one for you. So on supportive employment, so I know, like my son, for example, utilizes Genesis Development for his supportive employment. Is who else is out there that your clients that you're seeing that are utilizing?
So there's Genesis, and we've used them the past couple of years, but it just hasn't. They don't really have any skin in the game, so they don't.
Sure.
You know, it doesn't really matter to them, and so Goodwill has started, was it sometime last winter?
Right.
And so I called them right away to see if they would be able to take on this fall students, because basically we're handing to them on a silver platter these wonderful people who are ripe and ready for employment. And they already had a waiting list. And so I've been told that Optime is also providing, is getting up and going in our region and in Story County to provide supported employment services. Historically, you know, their services in other counties have been lacking. I sat down one of the VR counselors and just said, who would you go to if this were your child, who would you use? And they said Goodwill. But, you know, there's always room for improvement.
Sure. Thank you.
I had the same question of concern many, many, many years ago. Mm-hmm. I worked for Mainstream and did supported living and supported employment. And so I know what a difference it can make. People sometimes don't understand until you've watched a client go through and overcome just fear in some of this and learning how to do that. So thank you for continuing to search for quality programs.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
With such a low unemployment rate in Story County, there's got to be a way.
Right. Exactly. I mean, you drive down Dustin, just see all of the organizations looking for help. With our Project Search interns, they have so many skills and abilities that, you know, we just don't want them working as a greeter at Walmart. Even though those are very important positions, they have higher goals than that and higher skills and ability. Or you know, cleaning the tables off at McDonald's. And those are often, you know, the jobs that people associate with people with disabilities. So, you know, we challenge our supported employment providers to really go out there and get them the meaningful work that they need. We did hold myself and in partnership with Iowa State our first annual business leadership summit, and that we invited all the Ames Chamber businesses to come to, and 16, but we had people from Barilla, the DOT, Iowa State, USDA, to learn about employing people with disabilities. We did speed, like how you do speed dating. We did speed interviewing with our Project Search graduates. And like the USDA came up to us afterward and said, I think we would have two positions available for two of your Project Search graduates. So we were disappointed that not as many employment providers came. But, I mean, just that's two positions, you know, that wouldn't have come to fruition if we hadn't had that summit.
And maybe it spread the word a little bit, too.
Right, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Good. Anything else? Mm-hmm. Tricia, thank you very much. And Jennifer, thank you. Okay, then. We will head on to consideration of minutes. Is there a motion to approve the minutes of the July 9th meeting?
I would move as presented.
I second.
Okay. Olson?
Aye.
Heddens?
Aye.
Merkin? Aye. Motion carries. Consideration of personnel actions. It doesn't look like we have any. Okay, then we go on to the consent agenda. Are there any things that anyone wants to pull from the consent? If not, I'll entertain a motion to approve the items on the consent agenda.
I'll move that we approve the consent agenda as presented.
I'll second that.
Okay, Olson?
Aye.
Heddens?
Aye.
Merkin? Aye. Consent agenda carried. We have no public hearing items. So we are down now to additional items, and we have Lisa Markley, Assistant Auditor, with a Resolution 20-08 on commitment of fund balance. Morning,
morning,
Lisa.
Good morning.
So now that the fiscal year has ended, I can have you guys officially do some action on where the fund balances were ended. First one is an uncommitment of fund balance, as we talked about the Board of Supervisors back in 2016 committed fund balances in the amount of $1.6 million, which was energy transfer funds for conservation uses. Since that time, we've uncommitted a couple times already. It's probably easiest to uncommit at the end of a year when we know how much has been spent on the projects that they have done, plus you're not uncommitting every 2 weeks or something like that. So at this point in time, what I'd like to do is uncommit an additional $37,650. That will leave us a balance of committed funds in the general fund of $1.4860.1099. I've been trying to convince them to round their numbers, but it's been to no avail. So that's the amount.
Okay. Any questions?
None.
I would entertain a motion to approve Resolution 20-08.
I move to approve Resolution number 20-8.
I would second.
Okay. Discussion? None. Heddens?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Merkin? Aye. Thank you. And you have the next one, too.
I do. I was like, why don't I get all this on one agenda and I'll just
good
spend some time with you. How's that? Okay, so this is the FY19 ending fund balance resolution. It's required because of Government and Accounting Standards Board. What happens every year is we, as a board, you as a board, make the determination as to how much is assigned funds in the general fund and how much is not assigned. The rest of the restricted funds that I've listed here are mainly just to make it easier for you to at a glance see which funds are restricted and don't have access to. I don't even know if it's required to be in this resolution. I just feel better about it being in this resolution. It matches up with the information that I put in your budget books last week. Okay. So just a real brief, for fiscal year ending June 30th, the Board of Supervisors in actions previously have assigned $350 for Justice Center renovations that are upcoming. The decision was made to assign $116,832 for upcoming CIP projects, $185,077 for small community funding, $1.240977 for future capital projects. Just a side note on that, almost $900,000 of that is from the sale of the CLP building to Optimate back in
2017.
So we have a total of 1.8 that is in the general fund but is assigned. In order to spend those dollars, all that has to happen is that they get spent. I have to put them in the budget to spend, and they come from the assigned funds. Now, it does not require a board action to unassign those funds. So let's say you decide at some point in time that you want to use some of those funds for something other than what the purpose of them is, or they're assigned for. It doesn't require a board action. It requires a board action. It doesn't require a resolution. Okay.
Could I just talk a little bit about this small community funding?
Yes.
Because the name confuses people, I think, sometimes, just from how it has been used in somewhat in the past. This is also, if we were to pick another kind of name for it, would be more of a general economic development fund, correct? It's not just for the communities under 2,000 people.
There are no guidelines for small community funding in this, for this portion.
For this portion of it.
So the way that was, this was started mm-hmm. was when the Board of Supervisors decided to tip 50% of the windmills for use toward projects. The other 50%, which is basically the tax dollars that we're going to get, as opposed to just going in and getting lost in the shuffle of general fund dollars, at that point in time, the board asked me to keep track of how much money that generates every year, and we'll assign it. So there's no guideline put into place for it. You are correct. It has been used for the economic development contract
mm-hmm.
with Ames, portion of it because they are serving the small communities via that.
And it's about $42,500 right now of that amount.
We've also I've also subtracted. It's a separate spreadsheet as well.
I know that. Right.
So I've also subtracted housing trust dollars from that.
Yes. Okay. And so that's why I just thought it was important while we were in a public kind of setting to reemphasize that these are general tax fund dollars generated by the 50% of the wind turbines that we don't pull for urban renewal. And while we call it small community funding, it is in fact used for other items already. There's not really $185,000 sitting there for the small communities to say, ooh, we can go act for part of that also, because it doesn't all exist as far as for the small communities. Some is like Lisa explained. This would be just, for example, as you maybe heard me talk about the housing grant money, this is most likely where this would be coming, where it might be an ask from. Thank you for the time. I just think it's important the public, and especially representatives of our communities, understand that that's not a chunk of money that's just all there for them and just the small communities. It's more general than that. Thanks, Lisa. Okay.
So there are also three other assigned funds that are not in the general fund. They are their own funds with their own uses. They just are not statutorily required to be restricted. So it's the Inmate Commissary Fund, the County Attorney Fine Collection Fund, and the Conservation Acquisition and Capital Projects Fund. The rest of the funds are restricted or committed.
Okay, any questions? Doris?
Another one, maybe more of a point again for clarification. Under restricted for the urban renewal projects funds, we show $394,775. Per my understanding, that is all not available right now.
That has all been not requested by the... So it's all dollars that have been put in that fund for the purpose mm-hmm. of the urban renewal projects that have been approved from 15 through now.
Right.
So there are numerous... Hold on a second. I have it printed out here.
Thanks.
Okay. There are numerous entities that have not requested their dollars yet.
Right. Right.
So that's what that 394 is. So from what you were, what the board from 15, no, that's all requested, sorry. From 16 project, mm-hmm. there is $79,917 left. It is for the Prairie Rail Trail expense. There is $117,000 worth of projects from 17 that have not been, $200,000 that have not been requested. Slater has not requested their dollars. Prairie Rail Trail expense again.
Mm-hmm.
And then in 18, only 119 out of the 273 has been requested. So those dollars are restricted because they have been committed to these projects, and that's where they need to be spent.
So there'd be $154,000 in 18 that has not been spent?
There is...
Just a quick math. Because you said there was $273,000.
Okay, so $114,000.
Minus $119,000 spent.
So we've spent $321,000 and there's $482,000 committed that year for 17. So the difference is what, $160,000? I have the exact projects.
Okay. So, and why I once again brought this up for the public, also, and for representatives of community, for Story County economic development, et cetera, is that this is not $394,000 available for the project ask for this year. A lot of this money, most of it, is already been given in previous years on these urban renewal project requests that come forward, but they just haven't been requested yet. But we've already said, yeah, we'll fund a project. So really, when next Tuesday at 9 a.m., am I correct, Leanne? We're looking at those urban renewal request projects?
The consultation's at 9 and everyone's presenting before at 10.
Correct. So I think it's really important we get this on the record that the actual amount for those being requested now, new ones, is what, about 100?
165.5 is where I'm at right now.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Okay.
Unfortunately, I can't give you that number until the taxes get certified, and the taxes aren't certified yet because we're still waiting on BPTC credits from the state. So I think Rhonda was hoping that by sometime this week she would have the final certification. BPTC does affect TIF, so I need to have a better understanding of how much that's going to be, but I'm guessing 165.5 right now.
Okay, thank you. So I've been saying a couple times up at this board table already that I thought that the amount, total dollar amount of asks this year for urban renewal area project funds was at least 100,000 more than what we had available. And so now, given this 165, that's even greater than that. I just am really trying to emphasize for everybody that there aren't enough dollars to meet all the asks for urban renewal when we go into discussions next week. So thank you, Lisa, for your patience with me as I kind of get this out to the public. Thank you. That's it for me.
Okay. Any other questions about the fund balance resolution? Okay. Need a motion to approve?
I would move that we approved the resolution 20-09 for fiscal year fund balances as presented.
I'll second that.
Okay. Any further discussion? If not, Olson?
Aye.
Hidden?
Aye.
Merkin? Aye. 20-09 is approved. And now we will hear from Leanne Harder on another issue, which is the Story County Facade Improvement Grant Program. Thank you, Lisa.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
The proposed changes for in front of the board this morning regarding the Story County Facade Improvement Grant Program are pretty simple and straightforward. If you look on page one of the grant guidelines, every year I've come before the board amending the fiscal years, and I think maybe it would be appropriate, and I'm proposing to the board that we remove the fiscal years and just simply say the Story County Board of Supervisors annually budgets $10,000 each year beginning July 1st. So I'm not having it come forth every fiscal year doing that.
And I assume that if during the budget process in the spring we take that money out, we need it someplace else, or we increase it, or whatever mm-hmm. we do, it'll be on your list to then
yep.
propose another amendment.
Right.
Okay. Does anybody have any problems with that? Or?
No, just so I'm clear on your comment, Leanne, you said you wanted to take out the fiscal year. I'm assuming you're referring to the specific dates, because what you've highlighted in there does say the annual budget's $10,000 each fiscal year beginning July 1st.
Right. What's proposed to be stricken is the existing language, the following
sentence. Yeah, I think that makes sense to me. I just want to make sure I was clear on what you were saying. Yeah. So thank you.
Yes, I like this also. It makes sense for a couple other reasons. What we're striking says shall be $10,000, but we've not always given $10,000. Sometimes we've given less because that's the only request that's come forward in that fiscal year, and sometimes we've given a little bit more maybe, and I'd have to add up the dates here to figure out where we were. But so I like this thing, we're budgeting $10,000. And as Ned said, so we give more, we give less, you know, but so I'm going to make a motion that we accept this change to our facade grant.
I'll second that motion.
Okay, any further discussion? If not, we'll vote. Olson?
Aye.
Eden?
Aye.
Merkin? Aye. Thank you. We have approved it. Now you, application from the City of Zeering. Leanne, you want to start us out?
Yeah, and coincidentally, while I was working on the facade improvement grant change, I received an email with the application from the City of Zeering. So I was able to get on today's agenda as well. So this will be the first one out of the fiscal year 20 budget amounts. The application was put on your agenda, and there are a couple of notes in red that I want to just spend a couple minutes on, and then I'll turn it over to Zeering representatives to go over the application. But this is, again, from the City of Zeering. The original amount was for $8,680. If you see the note in the left, it has been modified on July 10th to two different amounts, and I want to try and clarify this. When I went through the proposal, I removed some of the expenses that really were not viewable from the public right-of-way and subtracted those out, and that's where I came to the amended amounts. And then as I delved further into the grant application, there were amounts proposed for grant administration. The board has never, especially the new board, has never had the opportunity to discuss whether or not grant administration shall be calculated as part of the overall total project budget, absent that not viewable from the public right away. So that's where you see the two different amounts. And speaking with the City of Zeering City Clerk, she said they would agree with modifying the proposal. And then I said I would leave it at the board's table to decide whether or not grant administration was to be included or not. So the two different amounts would be the board would consider grant administration part of the total project cost, the request is for $6,130, or if you remove that, it's $5,530. Are there any questions on that?
None.
I will actually leave and let Zeering come up and talk. I did, before the meeting, though, put a copy of where the board has been on all the grant applications for this over the past few years since 2014, so you wanted to go back and see what past amounts have been. Are there any questions before zeroing folks come up for me?
If it pleases the chair, I'd like to discuss the grant administration issue before Zeroing presents on their project.
Okay, you have questions?
No, I would like to actually discuss the philosophy of starting to pay or allow as part of the contribution to be grant administration.
Did you want to start off the discussion?
Sure. Uh-huh. So the philosophy of the previous board and then boards as I sat in the audience and watched since this was formed was that this grant is liberal to begin with in that it can be up to a 50% match. When you go back and it doesn't say 50% in it, but when you read the actual grant requirements, that the community or the match is only to be at what the county's asked to give or above, all right? So that works out to the minimum of a 50%. And therefore, for grants, for one thing, grant administration is always going to lie with the city because the city has to be a participant in it. That's the whole point of this to begin with. And in this particular case, particularly now, I feel that charging a grant administration fee when it is a public building is not conducive to the spirit of the project. However, since the city's putting in at least, 50% anyway, I mean, we're just counting a dollar amount here for grant administration, and I don't feel it's appropriate. Never has been done before, and I think part of the reason might be because how do we decide that $1,500 is an appropriate amount for grant administration, especially on a city-owned project? They're going to have to do it anyway. So that's my feeling on it.
Do you have any thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I understand the concept for administration because there's a lot of accounting to do, reporting to do, watching where your dollars are going to be going. So I understand the need for administration, especially when I worked at it in previous work on it. Generally, though, there has been a certain percentage that you are allowed to take for administration and put it as, as that max. So if you are doing it, then the other one has to put in at least that amount as well, if not more, as the 50% is what you're saying. Little concerned if there isn't a specific process or identified number, because you want to make sure you are, other entities have come to do the same thing, that they are following the same requirement for administration. That would be just my only concern, but I certainly understand the need because I know what's all involved and why grant administration is an important component for the entity receiving the grant. If that makes sense.
And I guess where I would come down on this, just to further discussion, is it is a small amount of money we have here. And if we start looking at grant administration, over the years we've gotten several. If we ended up some year having lots of applications in some way, it just takes away the money that can go to the actual improvements. So I think unless we were thinking about doing a huge expansion of this kind of a program, I would rather personally just keep it to the actual expenses of the facade improvement rather than the grant administration. That's my thoughts at this time. And I know you want to, give us some information about this, and you can certainly address what you said. Leanne, do you have any further thoughts before you turn it over?
No, depending on what happens today, I think there might be another step that I would propose coming back to the board with the guidelines again, clarifying whether or not grant administration can be considered as part of the total project cost.
Mm-hmm.
Either way, just so that it's clarified for future applications.
So how did this come up in the first place? Because it says nothing in our current guidelines about grant administration. I mean,
it doesn't say either way.
Okay, so, and that's my point of going from the standpoint of we say we'll cover, okay, costs. So you're saying you want to clarify it.
Yeah, I think it's worthwhile that we have language clarifying, yes, it's acceptable, no, it's not acceptable, be included in total project costs.
Okay, are we going to need to list other types of expenses too?
Yeah.
Huh?
I don't know yet. I mean, it depends on, again, what the decision and direction is today from the board for this specific application.
So I wasn't going to make a motion thinking we just leave it the way it is, but what I'm hearing from staff is that it came up, so now maybe other people will ask, or maybe others have asked in the past.
We have not heard from the city of Deering yet, and I would suggest that first, if anything you want to say about your application, we give you some time to do that, and then we get into maybe discussion again.
Okay.
Is that all right? Leanne, we can get back to this.
Yep. Okay. Ready for me to turn over the seat?
Deering? Mayor? Mr. James? Gentlemen? Who would like to address
you?
Sure.
Good morning.
Good morning, ladies.
Good morning.
Before we move on to His Honor the Mayor, just a real quick reply to this question of administration. And for the record, Ron James, and I'm a volunteer with the City of Deering. We were, lacking specific guidance. We simply wanted to present a realistic budget of the entire project, which, of course, includes administration. Whether you want to include that as a match or not, that's entirely up to you. It's your grant program.
Okay, let me ask you this. I'm going to turn that back and ask what exactly. It's a city building. If you do this, regardless, whether we give that $600 or not, you're doing this project, right? So your city clerk is going to do the same amount of work, correct?
That's true. We were just trying to realistically capture the entire project the way we would see it from our point of view. If you don't want to include the administration, it's fine. I mean, it's your grant program. We were just trying to be realistic. This is what is going to have to be put in as an effort to make this project work. And realistically, this is how it's going to be described as a financial commitment. The match for this program is quite large. Where you're only paying 20% of the project. So this was only going to be match. My involvement of it, if you didn't do the facade grant, then I wouldn't be volunteering and I wouldn't be submitting timesheets, and I'd be very happy about that. If you do fund it, I'll be volunteering, and if you don't allow administration, I won't be filling out timesheets, and I'll be very happy about that too. It's really up to you. It's your grant program. We were just trying to be realistic about what the project entails given the ambiguity of the lack of direction in this. So provide the direction and we'll go with it.
So I appreciate that. Is there anything else you'd like to say about the proposal?
I want to clear. I think part of this administrative fee that we put in.
I'm Mayor Zering.
I think part of that comes from Laura's. As you know, we worked hard a year and a half ago on the Catalyst grant with the state, and we received it. And they did and made it clear that, administrative fees could be used as part of the match and so forth and so on. And so I think with that, when we were doing this, we concluded, because we dealt with many different grants over the last two or three years. And I think that's where it came from. And so, yes, if you, as supervisors, if you decide in this case it's not allowed, we won't include it again. That's a little bit of our mistake, probably, for doing it. But caught up in working with the
It's really on us, as you said. We don't say whether or not. So I'm not concerned about you including it at all. Personally, as my supervisor, I just feel like yeah, we'll make the decision on whether or not we want to fund it.
So my question, though, is that you're counting it as a match amount, but you're asking for 20%, period. You're not, so why it makes a difference is how much they're asking for.
Well, there's no question that it drives up.
It's a, to ask to us.
Yeah, right. By a couple $100.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So
right,
there's no question.
$100.
Yeah. So
as by 10%. Said, the final decision comes down to you three there, right, whether you allow it or not. Yeah. And we understand that.
Yeah.
And
you know, the city of Zering has received several of these grants. Your support, most recently for the old bank building, 108 South Main Street, was extremely important in getting that project moving, and it has grown from a $50,000 project into a $250,000 plus project that will not just fix the facade and make it a better looking building from the outside, but make it a usable, functioning part of the community, including two low income housing units and two commercial spaces. That's thanks to your support. So it's an extremely important program. We're very grateful for it, and we look to you for guidance with regard to this. And one way or the other, we'll work with whatever budget you think is appropriate for this project.
Okay. And we feel this project is a much-needed project for the fire station in Missouri. It's a facelift. It's another facelift on Main Street in Missouri. And it's going to help our firemen. And there's plans also to, with this remodel, to help also our first responders and locating them and so forth and bringing the firemen and the first responders together. So it's a large, another overall project.
I think it's important to point out that this isn't just a... It will make a facade very much better looking, and that's what the project, this program wants to do. It solves two very important problems that this community faces. The fire department building is threatened by its current condition. The facade, by addressing these facade needs, the structure will be preserved and it'll have a longer lifespan. That's important. That goes beyond cosmetics. Cosmetics are important, and that's why this program exists. It happens that it'll also save the building. The problem with the emergency management services was it going to be addressed by a new facility for a health clinic. We ended up resolving the issues of the health clinic differently and moved into the existing building. Mm-hmm. That eliminated the plan to build a new facility to get the emergency management services out of the floodplain and out of a small building that's extremely difficult to work with. Very grateful that the volunteers at the fire department came up with this plan that helps resolve the problem for that part of the health services network of this part of Story County. So it solves two really fundamental problems and gives us a facelift for the facade.
And the facade grant has a limited scope or purpose, and what I see this application being and how Leanne's kind of ferreted this out is that our part would be the part that really deals, our contribution would really be the part that deals with the facade.
That can be visible from Main Street.
Part, that yep. helps facilitate the overall goals that you have.
As we address that part of the facade, it coincidentally will take mm-hmm. care of the EMS and it'll take care of the critical needs of the structure itself. Mm-hmm. So those are just two happy outcomes that we would get from your support of this okay. project, and we'll get a nice looking building. So you'll get what your program wanted, and we'll just happen to have two really important upgrades for the community.
So Leanne, you're saying that $5,530 is what's applicable to the facade after removing the grant administration. Okay,
yep.
Thank you. Are there any other questions? Or anything else that you want to?
And I just want to clarify that the difference there, the reduction from what Leanne spotted, did that have something to do with the interior, the water leaks or the rust,
I don't know what I'm looking at, except I'm looking at red stripes.
The other thing that was taken out was the fourth elevation, the back elevation of the structure.
Thank you.
Yeah.
All right. I like any time that you can multi-purpose money. All right. And this is, to me, a multi-purpose of money. Not only are we fixing a facade there, but we're facilitating better access and services for emergency personnel. So just
that,
let
is,
you know.
That is part of the plan to go in this whole remodel and structure.
It's hard to dislike that, isn't it?
It really is. I might be a paid about gratitude, but I got the whole.
We were talking in the community about how if you don't fund it, and of course it's your choice, that children will die. But we weren't going to put that into it. So just forget I said that.
I've done. Thank you.
Okay. So then, if we're done with the discussion.
Yeah, mine was more of a comment. Is I like seeing something with the total cost in it, whether we approve having the administrative cost in there or not. I just think it gives us a true picture, and I think moving forward, when you look at future, if you've got other monies, maybe you decide at some point, yes, we want to include administration, or no, you don't. If you don't have that full picture of a project, it's just really hard to know exactly what the actual cost is. And there is administrative cost, whether someone's continuing to do the reporting or not. It is an addition that they didn't have before. So I personally like seeing that.
In a previous life, I managed a multi-million-dollar annual grant program, and I really encourage the local communities to think holistically, because they didn't always think about that realistically. And a lot of these were very small communities like Zering, and we'd give them a grant, and they just didn't have the ability to manage. And right. So I really wanted them to realize fully what they were committing to. But that was a different century and a different life of mine. That's one of the reasons why I did put it in there.
Sure.
Thank you very much, John. And I would, there's no further discussion, I would entertain a motion on this with a dollar amount, please.
I'm going to move for that we approve this grant in the amount of $5,530 to Zering.
I will second that motion.
Okay. We've discussed quite a bit, but is there any further discussion before we vote?
None.
Okay, Olson?
Aye.
Oh, okay.
Thank you.
Hedden?
Aye.
Merkin? Aye. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
So, Ronnie, you have made me think. I want you to know I'm going to think more about this grant administration things when Leanne brings it back, because maybe then also is, I never thought about, is Karen full-time, your clerk?
Yes.
Okay, got it. Right. But I was just thinking our number of hours, though, to, like you say, of your time. What is this really worth? Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Next, we have departmental reports, of which we have none. So we're down to other reports, and Lisa Markley again. With a FY19 quarterly financial report, and I bet that's our last one for 19.
It turns out.
Uh-huh.
So it's basically another format of the information that I put into your budget book with what I have done for the last 9-10 years is presented to the board on a quarterly basis where we're at with original budget, your most recent amendment, where everybody's at in their budget, that type of information. So this is basically the year end by department, showing you what everybody spent and what was left. Okay, and then the fund balance status. Obviously, the assigned and the committed are removed before I determine the ending fund balance percent. The general and the supplemental are the general fund when reporting on my annual cash report to the Department of Management. So those two together, we actually ended the year at 31.5%. That makes me feel a little better because insurance, let's just say the supplemental fund takes a hit the first 2 months of the year, the fiscal year. So I'm always glad when that supplemental fund is a little higher than 25% because it's very, very used. Mental health fund used to be an issue. Quite frankly, it's not anymore because the region makes a determination in March how much we're going to send them, and we send it to them, so wherever we end. What will end up happening is some of these dollars will end up going to them next year. And as a side note, we did take over July 1st as the regional fiscal agent. We ran our first claims yesterday. It was fairly smooth so far, so good. I was pretty happy all told how well it went yesterday. So, you know, it's just going to take some time to get used to doing that role also. So,
Lisa, can I just ask a question on that?
Yeah.
So when agencies are filing those claims, I know previously there was the email that they sent all their claims to was like claims@mhds.org. Is that the same that they're doing? I mean, I'm just wondering if folks know come July 1 if there's anything
that
different.
That did not. Okay, so it wouldn't have changed on the provider's side.
Gotcha. Okay.
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 What changed was, instead of Madison County writing Story County's writing So the same CICS, CMCS, I can't remember what their organization name is now that I think about it, but Jill Eaton all the people that do this from Marshall County, they're still doing it.
Gotcha.
They're just dealing
with
us instead of Madison County.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
The Rural Services Fund came in at 16.5%. We did budget that to end at 22%, so it's a little lower than mm-hmm. I would like, but we do get monthly local option sales tax dollars coming in there, so any funding that we have, any funds we have to expend, we do have some dollars coming in before taxes. Secondary Roads Fund ended at 58.7%. This is fairly typical. He budgeted at a 30% ending fund balance. It's just a lot of projects that don't finish up that they're doing in the summer that they haven't paid for yet. So on a cash basis, it ended up at 50. For the revenues, basically I'd like to note on this that the reason that we we're $3.6 million short on our revenues is because the $3 million bond that we amended in to get in FY19, we have not actually taken, we have not deposited yet. So Ted and Artie and myself and Ethan are all working on that. I'm hoping to get that $3 million put into the general fund this week. When it goes into the general fund, because it's an essential county purpose fund and that's where we're paying for the 9 StoryCom projects out of, it's going to be restricted. So everything that is not spent on the $3 million will go in as a restricted amount, and then I'll take away whatever whatever payments we've made to StoryCom. So basically, we did a pretty good job, I think, of budgeting accurately and closely and estimating how much we thought we were going to expend and bring in. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Good job.
Thank you.
Any questions?
No.
Okay. And that's just for information.
Yeah, that's just it. Yeah, no action needed on that.
So we are now down to upcoming agenda items, and as was mentioned earlier, next week we will be dealing with urban renewal area grant applications, Leanne, correct? And on the other agenda items that people can think of note? Okay.
Yes. Okay. So as I've been talking about HRDA, going forward, anticipate that HRDA will be here. HRDA staff will be here on, we're looking at July 30th meeting.
Oh, okay. I'm thinking 30th. Okay.
30th. Okay. Meeting. There were more cuts in services to Story County than some of the other counties experienced. And so HRDA will be coming forward to explain what those cuts were and what dollar amount, if we're so interested in helping to maybe restore some of those services, would be helpful. Okay, the budget is passed. It's we grilled and we took a very serious look at expenses and revenues and where our expectations were on that. We also, the board ordered changes in how the accounting process was done internally as far as staff and who was doing what and when they were doing it to make sure that we were receiving up to date within a month, okay, of the expenditures. So when April closes on April 30th and when we meet on May, the fourth Thursday in May, we want those numbers. We want to know where we are then. And that was one of our problems is we were sometimes not getting previous month's expenses for 2 and 3 months. And then when they were higher than anticipated, we were in shock. And we also took a look at, you know, I mean, obviously with now living with about $200,000 as a reserve instead of $2 million, that cannot go on. There are also some discussions here. We have one county who's not contributing any support right now, and what are we going to do about that? So there are other decisions ahead, but from our standpoint, July 30th, I've asked her to staff to say what is it that would be required to maintain a couple of our services, key ones like the seniors, and the other one I'm thinking of is we've been running pretty good service between Nevada and Story and Ames, and it's been noted and used. So what is it would we have to kick in to see that we're keeping pretty consistent routes? And that, by the way, is only the part that a county would kick in as opposed to the whole dollar amount. I mean, okay. So that's your upcoming agenda item.
So it's balanced.
It is balanced. Part of our problem was, we were balanced last year, but mm-hmm. there was unrealistic expectation of some of the revenues. We were giving away too many freebie services. It was done as trying to help agencies, other agencies, service providers, mostly in response to Medicaid and the Medicaid situation. They got hit too, as a group home, et cetera. And so our staff was trying to balance all of that out. And so we actually have told a couple of providers that we're asking for expensive trips for a limited number of people in some counties, that we're sorry, you're going to either have to pay for the cost of the trips or you're going to have to go looking at other providers, you know, other transportation options. So did get SkyRide agreed to negotiate up $1 per every ride on Dial-A-Ride, and it turns out there may actually be some other monies that we can get in the future from SkyRide. I've already let Steve Shanker know when I'm back from vacation. I'd like to go have coffee with him, since they don't have a new director over at SkyRide yet. Okay, so So there are things in the works.
Thank you. Any questions? Do you have anything?
I will just be out tomorrow at the INREC training up in Fort Dodge all day.
And
I did have one more thing, but you were looking for upcoming agenda items.
Okay. Let's move into liaison assignments and other updates as well.
Okay. All right.
Oh, thank you, ma'am. Public forum number two, anybody from the public? Okay, closed. So now we will segue into liaison assignments, committee meeting updates, et cetera.
Okay, so the other thing is the Story County Housing Trust Fund is meeting at 2 o'clock this afternoon. And to bring the board up to date on the challenge that the Housing Trust Fund is facing is that we lose our administrator, our contract administrator, which is Polk County Housing Trust Fund, as of December 31st this year. And we've known that was coming. And so options have been discussed. Primarily it's been between myself, Brenda Dreyer, who's the VP or the vice chair, and Amber Corrieri, who's the chair of the Housing Trust. And then, of course, there's been consultation with Iowa Finance Authority, who actually issues the authority for the trust funds.
And it was brought up, could Story County do it? So I've had three or four different conversations with Deb Schildroth over the past probably 7-8 months before she left. And the last conversation I had was related a little bit to staff interest. How much would we be paid if we received compensation for that? What is our capacity? I'm looking right at you, Lisa. I know that. Okay. You're going to be happy where I end up here, all right? Is, you know, what was our capacity given, you know, that we would end up being doing the accounting, also other agencies able to do it. And there is another housing trust fund funding with Boone, Jasper, et cetera, that's going to be managed out of Des Moines. So given all of those factors, Deb Schildroth and I made the decision that we were not a good fit for this. And certainly the CICS, the icing on the cake was is taking over a new large administrative program. I never even came to the auditor to ask. I did not want to be escorted forcefully out of that office, okay? So
Deb did have a conversation with Lucy about that. Brief conversation with Lucy about that. She did approach her and say, what are your thoughts? And that was the answer was, taking this on, we can't take something else on at this
great
point in time.
And so thank you. Yeah, so Deb conveyed back. Yeah. So at that point, it was just it. That's it. So they'll be issuing an RFP per IFA's instructions. That discussion will occur this afternoon. And hopefully we'll have somebody new on board in October as we make the transitions to ask for more money in the future. But thank you for that. Yes, Lisa, Deb was pretty adamant on your behalf. She was a good advocate for you there, okay? So I just want to let you know about that, but that's completely off of the team.
I don't have any committees until next week. On the 25th, I have the CICS meeting and the CIR meeting.
Tonight I'm going to city council meetings, see how they're doing on their comp plan. We have, oh my gosh, there's many more things coming up this week. Yes, we've got the grant meeting in Fort Dodge tomorrow on the IDELS grant. I have emergency management tomorrow evening. Squaw Creek Watershed Management Authority Thursday. And then next week, I think Tuesday, we have a StoryCom meeting before our 9 o'clock meeting here. So that will be a fast one to get from one to the other. But so a lot of variety. A lot of interesting things to learn. So that's what I've got coming up. And no other announcements, so I would entertain a motion for adjournment.
So moved.
Second.
Pheasant?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Merkin? Aye.
And I'm hoping to be
adjourned.